to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, top supply chain industry professionals and the nation's top thought leaders join host Brian Strait and share their unique insights to help supply chain managers stay one step ahead of their competition. This is Talking Supply Chain. The majority of businesses today are concerned about tariffs and their impacts, but the smart companies are finding ways to use that uncertainty to their advantage. How? My guest today is going to answer that question. Hello, and welcome to the Talking Supply Chain podcast. I am your host, Brian Strait, and I am glad that you've taken time to listen to us today. Joining me to explain how companies are responding to the disruptions that we're facing today is Tom Stroll, president of Oliver White Americas. Tom, welcome to the podcast. It's great to talk to you about this.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great. Let's get started a little bit quickly, if you don't mind, for our audience. Some people may be familiar with Oliver White and yourself. Others may not. So can you give me a little background on yourself and a little bit about your company, Oliver White?
Yeah. So with regard to me, again, my name is Tom Stroll. My background is I was over 30 years in the pharmaceutical industry, the last 10 or so in senior management. Almost all in generics, which brought the best of both worlds, right? All of the regulation and none of the profits that big pharma have. But it still gave me a pretty good foundation of understanding of what's going on in the pharmaceutical industry. Oliver White is a 55-year-old boutique consulting company. It was started by the man named Oliver White, and his claim to fame basically is he was the original thought leader on things that we take completely for granted today. Things like MRP, material requirements planning, master scheduling, detailed shop floor scheduling processes, distribution requirements planning, that kind of thing. As time passed, he saw a need to start elevating that discussion from planning perspective into leadership. And that's when sales and operations planning was initially born. And that then over time became integrated business planning as different elements were added, things like financial planning and portfolio planning, that sort of thing.
So he took all the stuff that we just assume just takes place, right?
Yeah, everything that's highly commoditized now. Yes, he was kind of that original thought leader, Oliver White. The company now has then taken that and kind of grown that thought leadership over the past. He died in 1985, so since he died 40 years ago now, The company has continued on his mission to change the face of industry.
Yep. Who knew? Things just don't happen on their own. So
no, they don't.
Our discussion today is going to center a lot around disruptions. We'll be talking about some tariffs a little bit because those are obviously a disruption that businesses are facing. And it's certainly a very interesting time for companies. Disruptions are not new, though. I mean, the companies have been dealing with them for years. So kind of to put the conversation today in context for the audience, I'd just like to ask you what you're seeing in the years you've been in the business. What's the biggest differentiator today between how companies are responding to disruption versus the way they may have done it several years ago?
Well, so I've been with Oliver White since 2013. And so, you know, I have a good 12 years of experience here. And then, of course, 30 years in industry. I'll be honest, I'm not sure that I see a big difference today versus what I saw, you know, years ago. What I do see is that a lot of companies are still having trouble seeing themselves. And so if you're asking the question, you know, what's the differentiator between those that are successful today versus those that are not? It's those that have good, solid, robust planning processes that filter all the way up to the executive level of the organization. If they have good planning capabilities, that is a competitive advantage for them. And that, I would say, is the big key differentiator.
Yeah. And that may tie into this next question. Maybe that is the answer to this next question, in fact, possibly. But yeah, as you guys talk to companies, you talk to a lot of companies, you talk to a lot of different industries and a variety of industries. So yeah, I think you get a nice perspective there from different how different industries are handling the tariffs and the trade uncertainty that we're dealing with. So, but do you see across the board, are there any patterns that emerge in how sectors of the economy or the sectors of the supply chain are handling the tariffs uncertainty these days? Are any of them doing it better than others?
Again, you're right. I kind of answered this question before you
A
asked
little
it.
bit, yeah.
But I would say that it's not really sector specific. We see companies that do not have good, robust planning processes, good integrated business planning capability, they struggle. They struggle a lot. Those that do are creating a competitive advantage for themselves. And so I wouldn't say it's sector or industry specific. You have a range of capability within pretty much every sector and every industry. And we see that, and we see it all the time.
Yeah. So as you kind of hinted at here, some sectors are doing better, some companies do better than others, with the current environment. I think companies in general, right, they always react to what's taking place. And then but they don't proactively plan for disruptions and change. And I know you don't know what disruptions may come, right? But why, I mean, there is planning that can be done. So why, from your experience, do companies, so many companies still rely on the reactionary response to disruption as opposed to proactively planning for a disruption?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would say to that. You're talking about the dynamic of reacting versus responding.
Okay.
That's how we talk to clients about it. And the simple answer is it's hard to stay disciplined. Things change quickly, and discipline processes tend to break down when things are changing so quickly if you don't have a robust capability to manage your planning process and manage your data. Data, the number one problem that we see with clients is that their master data is a mess. And in an ever-changing environment that we're in, keeping up with your master data and making sure that it stays accurate all the time, is a very, very difficult thing, but it can be done. But it does require significant amount of discipline. I would say the other thing that kind of tends to cause breakdowns in discipline is transparency is not easy for people, right? And IBP, Integrated Business Planning, is the most transparent process you'll ever see. You can see with a robust integrated business planning process, you can see everything. And we call it seeing yourself. And in order to be able to see yourself, it has to be transparent, and that's difficult. But all of that kind of conspires to it's hard to stay disciplined and be able to respond versus react because you can see yourselves clearly and respond to change either as it's happening or getting out in front of it and responding before it actually has a material impact on your business.
Yeah. And sometimes seeing yourself, right? I mean, we do this in our own lives and our personal lives, right? Sometimes you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? Yeah, I could lose 10 pounds, but you know, it's not a big deal, right? Same way with businesses, I think. Sometimes maybe they look and see some of the things and they don't really like what they see. So it's easier to kind of let's set it aside and not deal with
Actually, we use that analogy quite often when we're talking with clients, right? It's very similar to that whole weight loss dynamic. There's a huge industry out there that thrives on that. And yes, it's very much the same, right?
Yeah. It's difficult sometimes to see yourself. And I think that's always something about great leaders is that they have that ability to see themselves, see what they can and can't do, and acknowledge that, right? And not hide the fact that I can't do this, but I'm going to try to do it anyway. So we talk about planning and some of the disruptions and things. Even before Trump won the presidency last year, there was renewed interest in nearshoring and onshoring, coming out of COVID especially. We've seen a lot of this year, we've seen a lot of large announcements around domestic investment in recent months. Although I've talked to some people who have suggested that some of those announcements won't actually come to fruition when all said and done, because they just kind of, hey, we plan on doing this, and then things will change, right? And things will change in the environment, and they shift the direction of the way they go. But want to ask you kind of what you're hearing on the ground. What's the reality of taking place as far as reshoring, nearshoring? What when your conversations, what are you hearing that is the reality?
Well, I definitely think that nearshoring is happening. And, is it happening to the levels that we're hearing numbers get thrown around and they're kind of changing every day and it's very fluid? I guess time will tell, right? But I don't think that there's any doubt that it's happening. And there's a couple of reasons why it's happening. One is simply because of the tariff situation. Companies will look for ways to maximize profits and minimize cost, and tariffs now are part of that cost profile. So there's that. But there's also in at least a couple of sectors, AI and pharmaceuticals being the two primary ones. You might throw technology in there too. There's a national security implication to some of this. And I think that the importance that's being attached to that national security element is real, and we are seeing a lot of movement. It's very real. And so I do think that there's going to be significant onshoring activity, I would say, particularly in technology, AI, and pharmaceuticals for sure, but we're also seeing it in other areas, apparel and luxury goods and automotive, that kind of thing. Where it all lands, we'll see. But no, I definitely think there's a significant onshoring activity going on.
Yeah, you mentioned the national security component of this. I don't remember 5 years ago having discussions about supply chains and national security as much as they seem to exist today. Is that a new element? I mean, it probably was always there, but is it a new focus?
Well, I think the issue was always there.
Yeah.
The discussion wasn't really there until COVID.
Gotcha.
Once COVID hit, and suddenly these long supply chains that were stretching to China and Southeast Asia and India and that kind of thing, these long supply chains were severely disrupted, and there was a lot of geopolitical issues going on around all that. And some came back quickly, others didn't come back quickly. I think we found that for sure in the pharmaceutical sector, and the technology sector, we were extremely vulnerable, to sudden change in these long supply chains related to these geopolitical issues. And I think that realization has caused a fairly significant change in some of these activities.
Okay. You've talked, obviously, disruption tariffs been part of this conversation today, but I want to get kind of to the meat of what we started out conversation, which is the planning concept here, the integrated business planning, and we'll get into that. So, I mean, you believe obviously that businesses need to have plans in place to deal with disruption tariffs, whatever the situation may be, right? And you've worked with some organizations that, despite what's going on right now, they're thriving. Even in the midst of all this chaos that seems to exist around them. So can you share some of the secrets of what those companies are, what these best-in-class companies are doing to thrive during this time?
Well, yeah, I think again, having robust planning processes that look out into the future and try to understand to the best of their capability what the truth is. And companies that do not have multiple plans going on inside their business, and have a single version of truth inside their business, are definitely at a competitive advantage. What we see with clients very frequently, when we're called in to help, one of the first things we look for is, do they have multiple plans? And when I say multiple plans, it means, demand has a view of the world, and supply has a view of the world. They don't necessarily align. Finance has a view of the world that may not align to either one of those two. The portfolio management process may be off in a closed, smoke-filled room someplace, and nobody really knows what's going on. When you get to a single version of the truth, where everybody understands what's going on and they can say, yes, that's the plan. That's when companies start to be able to manage the chaos and understand what's going on around them and be able to respond. So that's, for me, that's the main difference between those companies that are successfully dealing with the chaos versus those that are not.
So you mentioned the single version of truth there. I think a lot of companies, and you talked about, hey, supply may have a forecast and demand has a forecast and finance has a forecast. I think companies are very familiar with forecasting and demand planning as traditional S&OP processes. But you mentioned the single point of truth. Is that the biggest difference between integrated business planning and what companies are traditionally familiar with in the S&OP or demand planning processes?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Sales and operations planning, again, Oliver White was at the forefront of developing that. And when we first brought it forward to the market, it was really just a supply-demand balancing kind of thing. Oliver White had brought forward these lower-level planning processes to get operations moving in the right direction, but then he saw there were disconnects between what they were making and what the companies were selling. And so sales and operations planning kind of was born to get alignment between demand and supply and inventory planning. That grew into IBP as finance was brought into the equation, as portfolio planning was brought into the equation. Now we have the capability of looking across all of the different key business functions, key business processes, and be able to see, are we aligned? And as things change, which they always do, are we getting rebalanced? And that's the monthly planning processes at the IBP level. And that's the main difference between traditional S&OP and IBP.
Can you to try to illustrate for the audience, maybe is it possible, maybe you can't share specific clients, but can you share any real world example, for instance, maybe one of your clients and that went through this kind of cross-functional alignment through an IBP process and how it may have helped them or either mitigate or avoid a big disruption?
Yes, I can. So when I was still consulting, before I became president, I had a client that was, the typical sort of client. They had very, very low capability in terms of forward planning. It was basically, what are we shipping today and tomorrow? And, what does the demand look like today? And what's it look like tomorrow? Very little capability of looking into the future and seeing what's coming. Very low capability in terms of demand planning, supply planning, portfolio planning, all of those key planning functions. Very low capability. Oliver White came in, helped them develop their processes, get their people educated, and began developing their capability. And we ultimately certified them, I believe it was 2019, we certified them. And then COVID hit. And, the biggest disruption probably in the history of manufacturing hit, and maybe second only to World War II, but it hit and caused just massive disruption across industry. And, did they feel the disruption? Absolutely. Absolutely. Was everything perfect? No. But were they able to cope better than their competitors? 100% they were able to cope with it better than their competitors. And they actually gained market share. And through that time, and when COVID, when everything kind of reemerged from COVID, they were in a much better place than when they went into it. Again, doesn't mean they didn't have disruption, doesn't mean that they didn't have supply problems, doesn't mean that they, customer demand was flying all over the place. It was all of those same things happened to them, but they were just better able to cope because they were making decisions based on what they knew to be true today and were able to adjust as things changed.
Again, going back to that planning, right, and being prepared kind of thing.
Being prepared, yep.
I think there's some people out there, when you talk about integrated business planning, there's some people probably don't fully still understand what it actually is. And there's companies that probably have tried to implement it and then abandoned it, right? I think you talked about this a little bit earlier about like seeing inside yourself, right, as a big part of it. So I want to ask a two-part question on IBP, and that is, why is it that some companies struggle to implement it? And how do you get past those challenges so that it can be implemented and be beneficial to the organization?
Yeah, so it kind of goes back to the question you asked about S&OP, and its relationship to IBP. Many companies look at the problem and they say, well, we need S&OP. And so they implement supply and demand balancing. Well, supply and demand balancing is happening at the middle management level, for all intents and purposes. You have middle managers from demand and supply that are working together, excuse me, that are working together, and they're trying to create some balance between the supply and demand equation. The difference and what makes companies be successful versus struggle is senior management. We've seen countless examples when senior leaders try to delegate integrated business planning to middle management. It never works. It never works. And why does it not work? It doesn't work because integrated business planning, above and beyond all else, seeks to operationalize the business strategy. Well, middle management doesn't own the business strategy. Senior leaders own the business strategy. And operationalizing that strategy requires a connection between execution and strategy. And so the number one reason why I think companies struggle is because senior leaderships are not engaged. Senior leadership is just delegating it down, and they're not engaged, and they can't connect to strategy.
So that, I mean, that sounds like what you're talking about is silos, right? I mean, everybody in that department, the middle manager, they work in their own little world, and that's what they care about, right? And they're not looking at others. They don't care what demand is doing. They don't care what finance is doing. So it sounds like strategizing from the executive level down. So how do you put that in practice? What does that look like in practice? How does management get that involved to make it
Well,
work?
first of all, from an integrated business planning process, they have to own it. They have to own the process. So the penultimate meeting in integrated business planning is what we call the management business review. Well, that's not a VP level kind of discussion. That is at the C-suite level. The chief executive officer or the president of the company should be chairing that management business review, and all of the senior most leaders in the business should be participating in that. So the senior most leader of supply, senior most leader of demand, same in portfolio, same in finance, so CFO typically, Those folks are the ones sitting around the table at the management business review. They are being presented with a plan from middle management that says, this is the plan. This is what we see as the plan. And they then should be able to look at that and say, well, is that aligned to our strategy or not? And typically, again, in integrated business planning, the visibility and the transparency of the plan creates what we refer to sometimes as white hot spotlights on problem areas in the business. Could be imbalances between supply and demand. It could be a portfolio that's not aligned to strategy. It could be, a customer distribution network kind of a problem. But these issues that are not aligned to the business strategy tend to pop out and become extremely visible to senior leaders when they have one version of the truth that they can all gather around the table and look at.
I mean, it sounds as you're talking today to me. I mean, it going back to the mirror idea earlier, it just sounds like the executives that they have, the executives have to be executives, right? I mean, they have to be in charge, and they have to be willing to see their own warts. And if you're not doing both of those things, then this process doesn't work.
That's correct. And so, again, a couple of things that we see a lot of times when we're first going into companies, we see that senior leadership is not engaged. And we seek to get their engagement. We also see after we leave, sometimes, management teams turn over, presidents leave, CEOs leave, new CEOs, new leaders come in with new ideas, new ways of looking at things, and they don't engage, and then the process starts to deteriorate. So it's all about IBP. S&OP is middle management. IBP is senior leadership. They have to be engaged. If they're not, it won't work. It's that simple.
So I want to finish up the few minutes we have left with a two-part question on advice. Obviously, most of my guests, I asked them for a little advice for the listeners out there, kind of get started. First part, I think it's an easy one. Some executives may be listening to this and say, "Hey, this sounds like a neat project. I want to get involved in doing something like this and improving my business, but I don't know where to start. How do I start this?" So first part of it, how do they get started? And the second part was, which is the broader question, what should companies be doing now to try to get ahead of that next wave of disruption?
Well, if senior leaders are listening to this and they want to start understanding more about what this is, certainly if they visit our website, oliverwhite-americas.com, they can access a treasure trove of white papers that we've written, largely resulting from experiences that we've had with other clients. And they can learn a tremendous amount. The other avenue is we've certainly written many books about this, and there is just a huge library of books that we have. We also have public courses that, if they would like to attend, we do have senior leaders attend those on occasion. And that all of those areas would be a good place to start. And if it is making sense to them and they want to pursue that, well, certainly we'd love to talk to them and we can take them deeper into it.
But you gotta be willing to adopt it, right? I mean,
Well,
that's the key.
you got to be willing. You got to be willing to engage, and you've got to be willing to lead, not just delegate it.
Great. Thank you, Tom. We're just about out of time. Want to thank you for joining us today and discussing this topic. Good topic. Important topic for businesses, I think, too, this day and age. And if you didn't learn it through COVID, you're probably learning it now. The importance of being prepared. So I want to thank you for joining us and sharing some information about the company. Do you want to give the company website one more time quickly?
Well, I gave the company website. If they want to reach out to us to talk to somebody, the best way to do that is at www.askollie, OLLIE, at Oliver White. And don't forget, White is spelled WIGHT. So Oliver White, one word, .com. We can certainly bring somebody to you and have a good conversation with you.
Great. Great. Thank you. We're out of time. I want to thank my guests today, Tom Stroll from Oliver White, and all of you who took time to listen to us today. We greatly appreciate it. New episodes of Talking Supply Chain come out on Thursdays. You can find them on scmr.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Once again, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Thank you, all of you out there, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you.
Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, supplychain247.com, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. For more information on this topic or to sign up for our weekly newsletter, a print or a digital subscription to our publication, visit scmr.com. We hope you will join us for our next episode. For Supply Chain Management Review, I'm Brian Strait, and thank you for listening.